on our staff. That's not to take away from the other staff members at all, but we work hard to do what we do here at C3 Fremantle, and I'm really excited that Emma's got this opportunity to bring the Word of God. Can we give her another hand as she delivers this morning? God bless her.
Good morning, church. Well, I hope you are ready to be strapped in. I'm going to take you on a roller coaster ride today. So you'll be scared, you'll be squirmish. There'll be a thrill of exhilaration from the ride. It'll end well, I promise you. I also promise there will be no rapping and no flag dancing. Wasn't Barry incredible last week? Just incredible. So we are starting a series on Bible heroes and great heroes of the faith. And so I am bringing to you the great hero in the Bible of Joshua. There are three chronological events in Joshua that are very, very specifically in how, you know, God recorded, you know, the events of Joshua and how he led the Israelites into freedom, into Canaan. And so the three things that I'm going to bring to you today are being strong and courageous, having a heart of God, and seeing what God sees. So let's just go back to a little background of Joshua. Joshua was born into slavery. He was born as a slave. Can you imagine growing up and spending 40 years in slavery? The cruelty that he would have endured for 40 years. And then Moses led the Israelites out of slavery, and he spent another 40 years wandering, lost in the wilderness. Now, this wasn't because of Joshua's distrust in God or his lack of obedience to God. In fact, Joshua was one of the most faithful followers of God. He had complete confidence in God, as did Moses, but the Israelites didn't. And because the Israelites didn't trust God fully, even though God showed miracle after miracle in the wilderness, God was quite cross with them. And so he said, "You Israelites will not actually see the promised land." And so they actually all died in the wilderness, but the children of the Israelites saw the promised land. Now, 40 years wandering aimlessly, lost, you know, that God allowed that to happen. You know, when I was 19 years of old, I just got my license and was hanging out with the young adults, and we have great young adults in our church, and went to the movies in Garden City. Came out, it was about 9:30 at night, and one of the other guys, one of our friends that was there, he said, "Look, I'll walk you to your car." Very, very good gentleman, and said, "Thanks, that'd be great." So he said, "Where's your car?" Well, I said, "Well, I think it's over here." So we walked for probably about 20 minutes. I had no idea where I parked my car. So after about 20 minutes, he said, "Look, I think if we go into my car, then we can drive around the car park. It'll be quicker and we'll find your car a lot easier." Good idea. Okay, so we walk back to his car, driving around. Garden City car park. It's quite a, you know, sizable car park, but it is a car park, okay? After 3 hours, I finally found my car. And I think the only reason why I finally found it was because it was about 1 a.m. It was probably the only car left in the car park. So being lost, oh, I'm spectacular at it. Now, that was 3 hours. The Israelites, 40 years being lost. They walked probably 9 kilometres each year towards the land of Canaan. Oh, so funny. So you can imagine Joshua, 40 years in slavery, 40 years just wandering, you know. Can you imagine the kids? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? 40 years. So we come to the point where, you know, Moses had led them out of Egypt, and then he dies. And God speaks to Joshua. God has a message for you today. There is a message from God to you. God is speaking to you today. And he has an unbelievable but true message for you. And this is what God said to Joshua in Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous." Can we all say that? Be strong and courageous. "For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God spoke to Joshua three times. He says this: be strong and courageous. The last time, it's a command. This is not a suggestion or a tip to follow. This is a command. And this is the command that he has for every single one of us, is to be strong and courageous. Being strong is that strength of confidence that we can have in God. In knowing who God is, we can have full confidence, full trust in him. And so our strength is a quiet confidence in the one who promises everything and whose promises always come true. And he is with us wherever we go, so we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be discouraged. God is for us. I really believe that many of you here today need to hear the words from God to be strong and courageous, to carefully obey the word of God, to meditate on his word day and night, so that you know what is written, so that you can obey, so that your faith can be proven through how you follow him, how you trust in him, in obedience to him. So God spoke these words to Joshua after choosing him to lead the Israelites into the promised land of Canaan, from slavery to freedom. God is about freedom. Amen. Freedom in Jesus' name. So what are you a slave to? What is it that you are a slave to in your life? Is it money? Is it your work? Is it a mindset that is a small mindset, or a mindset that doesn't align with who God is? Are you a slave to an addiction? What is it that you are a slave to? God is a God who wants to set you free. He is a God of absolute freedom, complete freedom. Could be unhealthy relationships. It could be religiosity. It could be your circumstance. Are you a slave to your circumstances? God wants to lead you out of those things, out of being slave to those things, into freedom. Okay, so who was Joshua? He was faithful, he was obedient, he was a leader, he led with strength and courage. He always consulted God before doing anything. He always consulted God. He said, "Lord, what is it? What are your instructions?" And God was very specific in how he spoke to Joshua, and Joshua followed that, exactly how God would speak to him. There was one occasion that Joshua didn't consult God when he was in before a battle, and he actually experienced defeat. God's grace allowed that to be turned around and still continue, because God's word never fails, okay? So Joshua was faithful. Joshua was obedient. And how can we remain faithful, strong, and courageous? We need to renew our hearts. We need to have a heart of gold. So having a heart of gold. So we come to Joshua. He's at a point now where we're in chapter 5. Verses 2 to 3. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, here comes the squirmish bit. Make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. Be strong and courageous. Do you think Joshua would have thought that this is what he would have to do to obey God? So what this is about is the Israelites that came out of Egypt, they had already been circumcised. That was a way of them being sanctified to God, and the children of Israelites in the wilderness, had not happened. And so this is very important that God wanted all the children to be sanctified and holy and made right before God. We see in Colossians 2 verse 11, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of the sinful nature. So this, the physical circumcision, I'm so glad I'm not a guy. This is the most private and, sensitive part of the body. And for men to have that done, just painful and not nice. And, the healing needs to happen. And this is a physical, symbolic representation of cutting away those things out of our heart that is sin. We need to cut those out of our heart. We need to renew our heart. Psalms 57, verses 7 to 12. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. God required the children of Israel to be circumcised to reestablish a right heart and relationship with him. They needed to do this so that they were ready to conquer Jericho. They had to fight the enemy. They had to defeat the enemy so that they could have freedom. For you to have success in the fulfillment of God's promises for you, of entering into his abundant provision, into his freedom, your heart needs to be right with God. Vulnerability before God, being truthful with the areas in your heart that need to be cut away, renewed, and made holy is crucial. God asks you to serve him wholeheartedly. This is a really confronting part of Joshua's story to read. And I had a revelation of, Lord, what is it that is in my heart that needs to be cut away? And I can say that it is difficult to trust God at times. Past experiences make it very difficult to trust. And so this was an area in my heart that I needed to cut away. I needed to be truthful with myself and see that distrust in God is actually sin. And I had to cut that out and say, Lord, you are faithful. You are God. You are holy. You are a God whose word is true. And so I have no reason not to trust you. I cannot blame anything else that has happened. I can worship you. I can trust in you because you are God. When we are truthful with ourselves and what we see in our own hearts, it makes it easier to see God. It makes it easier to see the truth of who God is. Don't let your heart deceive you. Be truthful with what's going on in your heart. So when our hearts are right with God, when we have full confidence and trust in Him, then we lift our eyes to see Him. And what do we see? What does God see? So soon after all the Israelites, the Israelite young men had been healed from being circumcised. Joshua has a holy moment where the commander of the Lord's armies actually appears to him and says, you're standing on holy ground. This is the ground that they were about to take, the enemy they were about to defeat. So we come to Jericho. Jericho was a massive, massive, unconquerable city. Now, there's from the research that I did, probably over 20 metres high at least. There's debates about the actual measurements, but excavations have been done and Jericho exists, the city of Jericho. And, if you can imagine Joshua coming to the Jericho and seeing huge walls, thick walls, there were walls within walls, a massive fortified city. I don't know what you would think, but I would be thinking there is no way that we can take this. There is no way that we can defeat Jericho and take this land. And so he is standing there, and this is where God speaks to him. This is a really, really critical point where God says in chapter 6, verse 2, "And the Lord said to Joshua, see." God is saying, "See how I see." This is what God sees. "I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." We see what's in front of us, our circumstances, our reality. But God sees things so differently. God sees the freedom that he wants to give us. God sees the victory that he has already given to you. So look to God. See as he sees. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 11, I love this scripture. God says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to and it will prosper everywhere I send it." God's word pierces our heart. God's word is truth and it speaks exactly what you need to hear. It speaks exactly what he wants you to see as well. His word guides us. His word leads us. Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." We look to God. Look to God. What does God see? Allow God to speak to your heart. Allow God to speak truth into the deep recesses of your heart about the freedom that he has for you, about the victory that he has for your circumstance, the impossible that you're facing right now. God will make a way. So, Joshua, with this word of God, "See, I have given you Jericho," we see what happens. This is what God says next about how to take over Jericho. Joshua 6, 3 to 5, "You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. So march around the town for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town." Not exactly the strategy of military action that I would expect to hear in taking over a city. But God wanted to show how magnificent he was. God wanted to show that he is a God of miracles. And he wanted Joshua and Israelites to trust him and obey him. And for him to say, I can do this. I have given you Jericho. I have given you freedom. I have given you victory. And it's exactly what happened. Joshua 6:20, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. The walls of Jericho fell and they fell instantly. Can you imagine? I mean, Joshua as a leader to actually say to the Israelites, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to walk around, not make a sound for 6 days. We're just going to walk around. On the seventh day, we'll do it for 7 times and then we'll shout and blow our horns and we'll win. Great leader, great leader. Confident leader. What impossible giant do you face in your life? What victory does God want to give you? If you would see as he sees, lift your eyes to God. He speaks to you today just as he spoke to Joshua. He speaks to you about your future. And it might be something that sounds a bit strange as well. I think that's quite clear in how God wants to do the miraculous in your world. So they took over Jericho, and it was by Joshua's obedience to the voice of God that he was able to defeat 6 nations, 31 kings, and they entered into the promised land of Canaan, and the tribes were divided up, and they settled there, and they had peace. They had a sense of belonging. God gave them the victory. God gave them complete freedom. Today, I want you to hear and to know that you are 500% free. Not just a little bit. God has given you complete freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from being a slave to your circumstances. God has given you freedom. If I can invite the band to come up, that would be fantastic. Can everybody stand? Just put your hands out to God. I want you to receive a blessing today. That whatever it is in your world, whatever it is in your life, whatever circumstance that you are in right now that seems impossible, whatever area of your heart, deep in your heart, that needs to be renewed, that needs to be cut away, give it to God. Open your heart to God. Be vulnerable before him. Let him speak to you about how he sees the possible in your world. Allow him to speak truth into your situation that is going to bring freedom from sin, freedom from slavery, freedom from your circumstance that just seems so impossible to get out of. God is a God who keeps his word. God is for you. He is not against you. God wants to bless you abundantly. He wants to give you everything that will give you complete freedom and hope for your future. You just need to be open to receive it, to trust in him. He is a God that will never leave you. He is a God who will never forsake you. He is a God that says, be strong and courageous. Be strong in me. Have confidence in me. You can trust me because my word never fails. My promises for you will never fail. You can trust in me with all your heart. Pour your heart to me. Give all of yourself to me. And watch and see how I will bless you in ways that will be unbelievable, but they will be true. Receive the message that God has for you today. Father God, I pray for every person here right now. Lord, I pray that you would give them hearts of gold that are pure. Father, I pray that they would be renewed and made holy. Father, that as you speak to each person, exactly what they need to hear, Father, that they would have the courage to obey you. They would have the courage to go out of their comfort zone, to hear the word of God, to obey the word of God and do exactly as you say. Because you have freedom for each person in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your freedom, Lord God, right now. We thank you that you set the captives free. You heal the brokenhearted. I pray for victory over addictions right now in Jesus' name. I pray victory over the deception, over the lies, Lord God, that are not true, that have been spoken over people right now. I speak victory into your people today. Thank you, Father God. You know, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, we see that Joshua was named by Moses Joshua. His original name was Hosea, but Moses named him Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. Joshua's life, from slavery to freedom, speaks of Christ. He has given us freedom over sin and death. We are no longer slaves to sin because of what Christ did on the cross. Joshua, the Lord is salvation, points to what Jesus accomplished on the cross for you and I. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give an opportunity for those people who need to say, Lord, I need you in my life. God, I confess of my sin and I receive your forgiveness. And today I want to make you Lord of my life and I want to trust in you wholeheartedly and receive your love today. For those of you who need to renew their hearts today, who need to make right with God today, I just ask if you could raise your hands, I would see it, and you can pop it down again. Be bold, be courageous, be strong. If that's you, just pop your hand up and put it down again. For those of you who need to receive Christ today, who need to renew their hearts with you, just put your hand up and pop it down again and I will see it. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Church, pray with me right now. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again. Thank you that you have forgiven me of my sin. You've washed me clean. I am made new and holy before you. Today I give my heart to you. All of my heart to you. That I may follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Those people who put their hands up, I'd like you to come forward and we're going to pray for you. We're going to leave the altar open for those who need prayer. If you need prayer today for an impossible situation, if you need healing today, please come so that we can pray for you and bless you. Thank you, church.
Thank you, Jesus.